Well, hi, kids. This is Grandpa Hall, and I'm sitting here in our living room with Nana.
Hey, guys.
And also, and Ernie, obviously. And I don't know if Tugs will meow for us or not, but he's in here, too. And
Ernie thinks y'all are here whenever I said that.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at the door and getting all excited.
Oh, dear. And there's Tux. Maybe you got to hear him a little bit. Yeah, so. And we're trying to talk to our grandkids, hoping that some of you will be listening to this sometime between now and the distant future, maybe. Of course, we're looking out our window. It's been raining, and there's a lot of pretty mist out there, kind of hiding the mountains this morning, but it's pretty. Birds flying around. The swallows are back, and we're excited about that.
Yes, yes.
So we're talking, we hoped, mainly to our grandkids. We have 15 of them now. They're awesome kids, every one of them.
Yes, they are. We're and truly blessed.
Let's see if we can name them, Nana. Let's start here, the ones in Teleco.
If we can't, we're in big trouble.
We are in big trouble, yes. I think we can do it. So. But at my age, you know, the memory is not very reliable, I'm afraid. So I may call one of them some other name any given moment. But in Teleco, we've got
Charity and Troy.
Charity and Troy, of course. And then we go a little bit further over to Madisonville, just a few miles. And
yep, we got Kinzer and McKinsley.
Kinzer and McKinsley, yes. And then we go to Oak Ridge.
Oak Ridge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's Noah and Lucy.
Yes, yes.
And then from now we have to leave the state of Tennessee to find the rest of them. So the closest, I guess, we get to first would be in Rowlett.
I think so.
Texas. Mm-hmm. And there we have Colton and Sarah.
Colton and Sarah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe McKinney is closer than Capel. I'm not sure. So we'll go to McKinney next.
Could be.
And that would be Taylor and Jackson and Carter.
Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Avery.
And Avery. And, of course, Taylor has Kingston, our only great-grandson at this point, only great-grandchild.
Yep.
Excited about them. And then finally over to Capel, where there is
Kaylee and Austin. Oh,
there are Kaylee and Austin. I guess.
Either way, it works.
But this is designed mainly for you guys that we just named.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, some of you are a little too young right now to appreciate it. I didn't give the date. This is April the 19th, 2017. Mm-hmm. But maybe someday when you get a little older, this will still be around. You'll get a chance to listen to it. And it's possible that some other kids somewhere along the way will come in contact with this, and maybe this will be useful to them too. I don't know.
I would hope so.
But my goal, and our goal, is to try to communicate a little bit of what's really, really important to Nana and Grandpa.
Yes.
The most important thing in our life. And we want to try to communicate that with you a little bit and encourage you, because we hope that Jesus can make a difference in your life like he has ours. And that someday, if not now already, your life will just be all about Jesus.
Oh, we pray.
There's just nothing more important to Nana and me than our relationship to Jesus.
That's absolutely right.
And because of that, it makes us closer to each other. Someday you guys are going to have husbands and wives. Most of you probably will. And if you want to really have a great marriage and be close to each other, Jesus is the key to that. There's no question about it.
There's no other way.
Mm-hmm. And so we want to communicate that to you. And, of course, we want to communicate that, of course, we learn it. Yes, Ernie agrees. I'll tell you exactly what happened. The mailman just came and is putting mail in our mailbox, and Ernie is highly suspicious.
It's okay, bud.
And Tux is looking at Ernie like, what are you so upset about?
Yes.
Why don't you calm down, pup? And, of course, you learn about Jesus by reading the Bible, and we want you to be excited about the Bible, excited about Jesus.
Yes.
One of the things that happens to some kids, in fact, it happened to me, Nana, is when they're growing up, they get confused sometimes about what's real and what's imaginary.
Mm.
And there may be things that they think are real when they're very, very young. And then later on they decide, that's not really real. That's just a story. That's just a made-up story. And it's really not true. It's fiction.
Make-believe. It's
yeah.
Sometimes hard whenever you're really young to be able to decide what's make-believe and what's real.
Mm-hmm. And I think for some people, it turns out that when they get a little older, they start thinking, well, maybe Jesus is just make-believe too.
Mm.
In fact, there are a lot of adults that feel that way.
Yes.
They think Jesus is a good idea, but it's just kind of a religion that people decide to believe, and they don't necessarily think all these things are true about Jesus that we read in the Bible.
Sadly enough.
But what we want you guys to do is realize, yes, some stories are made up, and there's a lot of neat fiction and not a lot of neat characters out there that are just made up characters, but Jesus is definitely not one of them.
No, he's not.
Happened to me when I was growing up. I remember there was a time when I was pretty young, and I started wondering, after I started realizing some of these other characters were made up and fictional, not real, I started wondering, I wonder if the time will come when they'll tell me that that's what Jesus is, that he's just another made-up character, that I'll find out he's not real either. And it took me a while to get through that, but... And then when I got a little bit older, I started wanting to know, well, what? How do I really know this is really true? So I started studying some of that stuff, and I won't get into that right now, but if you ever have doubts about whether Jesus is really true or not, and whether he really did rise from the dead, whether he really is God, whether we can really trust the Bible, I've done a lot of that kind of study in what we call Veritas. You may be familiar with Veritas, but we won't get into that right now, but it's something that you might want to study, especially as you get a little older, to just convince yourself that what we believe about Jesus really is true. I think it's very important, because
very important.
So many people don't believe it nowadays. So, Nana, let's talk a little bit more about Jesus. You want to try to communicate to some of these grandkids why he's so important in our minds?
Well, I think it's important for them to know that. And as you bring it up, it brings tears to my eyes, because Jesus is God. He's my God. He's a personal Savior. He's not just some ambiguous spirit out there that you can't have a personal relationship with. He cares and he loves about each individual that he has created. And when he invited me to be a part of his family, I was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
That's so special, to be adopted by Jesus.
Yes.
And it really does change your life. You may not feel anything emotional, but you might.
Mm-hmm.
But it changes your perspective about who you want to please.
Yeah.
Not other people.
Mm-hmm.
But God himself.
Yeah.
And it gives you a reason to decide on your actions and your reactions.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it gives you special feelings of peace and joy that even in horrible situations, the sin that's in the world is so awful, but he can give you that peace and that joy.
Yeah.
And that's why I love him so much. He has forgiven me, and he's personal to me.
That's so good, Nana. Yeah, most of you probably know the basics about Jesus, but you know that, like Nana said, he's not just any man. He's God who became a man. We call him God the Son. God reveals himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son became one of us.
Yes.
And it's because of our sin. He knew we had blown it badly. He knew we would. We've all sinned. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. We've all been very, very, very selfish, which is probably the heart of a lot of sin.
It is
just selfishness. And we want things our way and on our terms. And we've sinned. We've rebelled against God, and we've done it our way instead of his way. Tried to live our lives our way instead of his way. Well, he says, I love you so much, I'm going to pay for that sin.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he's a just God, so he can't just ignore sin. He wouldn't be just. You wouldn't be happy if God said, I'm going to let Hitler get by just because I'm a nice guy. But God deals with sin very harshly, and the way he dealt with our sin harshly, instead of us being punished, Jesus took it himself, on himself, when he died on the cross. He paid for our sins. And so he died in our place, and then of course to prove that he did what he said he did, and to prove he was who he said he was, he rose from the dead. He
yes,
conquered
he
it, and he's alive now, and
yes,
he comes to live inside us.
Yes.
And that's why our life's all about him, because he's forgiven us of great sin. I mean, I can look at my life, and it's horrifying and embarrassing how much sin there's in my life. And
as it is with everybody. There's no sin worse than another, though some of us find it hard to believe that. Right. But sin is sin. It's separation from God. It's disobedience to God.
Yeah.
And yet he chooses to forgive us if we will but believe in him and know that he rose from the dead and that he offers us this forgiveness and eternal life with him when this earthly life ends.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're so thankful. And by the way, if you find yourself maybe a little bit older and you're thinking, I don't know if I can really believe that's true or not, you need to check out the Veritas audio or the YouTube video on the resurrection of Jesus, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus that I put together, and you'll see why I'm convinced it's true.
It is overwhelming.
But not only that, of course, he changes our lives radically when we trust him. And so that's another evidence in our own hearts that he's real, all right. He's alive, and he's changing my life. And let me say this, too. Some of you, I'm sure, have at some point in your life at this point already prayed a prayer and invited Jesus to come into your heart, told him you were sorry for your sins, and asked him to be your Lord and Savior. There's Tux talking to you. but I want to emphasize something. That prayer is not a magic prayer. Please don't think, well, all I have to do is look back and remember that I prayed that prayer and everything's good to go, and then I can just live my life like I want to. That's not the way it works. We're not talking about a magic prayer or just some magic words. It's simply a way of communicating that from now on, Jesus, my life is really all about you. I want to live my life for you. I'm trusting you with my life, and I want to please you by doing what you tell me to do.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's a little saying that, or people believe that, when you become a Christian, that you can't do what you want to do, that it takes away all the opportunities to do what you want to do. And that's not true. There's a saying that I've always used that no, Jesus just changes my want to.
That's good, yeah.
And when you become a Christian and you truly ask Jesus to be in charge of your life, which means being your Lord as well as your Savior, it changes what you want to do. You want to make choices that please him, that bring him glory.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means saying no to what you might want to do emotionally or physically, but it puts him first. Your life is all about him, not all about me.
That's so good. Yeah, it really does change our desire. In fact, when you're really trusting Jesus and you realize how bad sin really is and what it does to us, like she said, it really, you still tend to want to sin because sometimes it seems to be the easy way out. It seems to be the fun way out. It seems like it's going to be pleasant and pleasurable.
Yeah.
But we know inside that, well, that's not pleasing to God. This is not the way he told me to live. This is not the way he designed me to live. And it also is going to pay some really bad dividends one of these days. It's going to turn out bad. There's some bad consequences of this sin, no matter how good it feels right now.
Yeah, and we all have to make those decisions, and we don't always make them correctly.
Right.
The want of the flesh to do things that please us, that make us look good, that give us those immediate benefits or those immediate pleasures are hard to overcome.
Yes. But God gives us grace to do it.
Yes,
when we trust Jesus, he puts his Holy Spirit in us, and he helps us get through those tough times. And the more we say no to sin, and the more we say yes to Jesus, the more joy and peace and happiness and fulfillment you'll find in life.
Yes.
The fewer regrets you'll have when you look back.
Yes.
You know, to the extent that we say yes to the flesh, yes to what I want to do, and when I know it's not what God wants me to do, when I do those kind of things, it always brings these horrible regrets. We just have to live with them. But But it's nice if we can make more and more decisions that glorifies Him. And you learn over a period of time, this really is the way to live life. This makes life fun.
Yes.
And it makes life full of joy and peace and excitement. And it's not like it's a dull way to live. Everybody else is having fun out there and doing all this sin. You look back and you say, wow, this is the most exciting thing that could have happened. God's got excitement for you. I have no idea what all it is, but He's got a purpose. Yeah, and a plan. It's going to be really good. So our main message to you today is just trust Jesus, not just say a prayer. Trust Jesus. Learn to live with Jesus, walk with Jesus, listen to Jesus. And listen, the way you listen to Him is by reading the Bible. And if you need help from us, we'll be glad to help you, give you some tips about reading the Bible and studying the Bible. And there's some verses you probably need to memorize. There's some really, really important verses to get into your heart. And God will speak to you through the Bible. That's His Word. And we just want you to be very, very familiar with the Bible. You know, it's not enough just to say, well, the most important book ever written is the Bible, and I've got one on my shelf. We've got to spend time in it. Nana and I, every morning, we get up early enough so that before we leave or get busy with whatever we got to do for the day, we have some time reading the Bible, talking about it.
Yes, we do. And listen, guys, there is nobody on earth who likes to sleep more than Nana. And I was convicted many years ago that this is really true, that getting up earlier to have time with the Lord is so very important to start your day off that way. And I didn't do it for many years, but when I did, and now, it is such an important part of my day. And I want to start the day with Jesus and with His Word. And it really changes the way my outlook is, the way my day goes. And so it's important. Think about just at least just a few minutes to set your alarm to get up just a little bit earlier.
Yeah. And there are lots of good ways to do that. I appreciate that, Nana. That's, of course, you know I'm in 100% agreement. But
it took you many years to encourage me and get me to do that.
But we for many, many years now, we've just had an awesome time every morning. Sometimes we weep. Sometimes we just talk to the Lord, talk to each other. And sometimes He puts something special on our hearts to talk about and pray about. And it's just a great way to start your day. And I realize that can be a learning process of how to do that well. So we'd love to help you with that if you want to talk to us about it, or we may have a later podcast or something where we'll talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's possible just to pick it up and start reading somewhere and say, well, I'm not getting much out of this. But it's also possible to figure out how to read it and how to think about it. And you know, there are lots of things out there that can help you make sure you're hearing from God every morning from His Word and learning a little bit more about Him and about how He works and about His truth. And there's just nothing more important than spending time in His Word every day.
Yep.
And then, of course, it's nice to get in the habit of, as you walk through the day, remembering He didn't leave you when you shut the Bible that morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, you know, having Jesus with you all day long, sometimes it's hard to think about that because we can't see Him.
Mm-hmm.
But He is there. He is here. He is with us. And I really am blessed in the job you guys know that I have. I work in the lab there at the drugstore. And for the most part, I'm totally by myself. And so it gives me the opportunity to talk with Jesus all throughout the day. And one of the things that He's done is to impress me that I need to pray for some of these people that I'm making medicine for, especially people. I do a lot of medicines for hospice, which is a medical service that helps people whenever they're dying. And I make special medicines for them to help them to not be in pain or not be sick at their stomach or not be, you know, anxious. And so I've tried to make it a habit to pray for each one of these people and the families of these people every time I make the medicine for them. And you can do that. The Lord will impress you to pray for people throughout the day. And doesn't have to be a formal thing. It's not something you memorize a prayer and then just recite it.
Yes.
But just talk to Jesus. He's here. Just talk to him like you were sitting here looking at Grandpa and Nana or your mom and dad.
Yeah. So good, Nana. Yeah, and I tell you, we know it's hard. You know, your life is busy and your brain is working on a lot of different things. And like she said, he's invisible, so you don't see him sitting there or you don't hear him saying, hey, talk to me. Hey, I want to talk with you. You know, you don't hear him and you don't see him visibly or audibly. So you may need some reminders. I can remember years and years and years ago when I was pretty young, I had a wristwatch, and I was frustrated that I tended to forget God through the day. I just never thought of it. I'd maybe spend some time in the morning and then with him, and then I'd go get started in the day, and I'd realize, oh my goodness, I've not even thought about God today. and so I took a little tiny piece of paper, and I wrote the word pray on it, and I put a piece of scotch tape over that little piece of paper, and I put it on my watch so it'd stick to my watch.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I looked at my watch to see what time it was, I saw the word pray. I said, oh yeah, Lord, thank you for reminding me that you're here. But you can do that. You can put little reminders, you know, on your mirror or write it on your back of your hand or something, you know, and just remind yourself, hey, I need to talk to God. I tell you, another thing that can help you remember is, and this would be a good thing to pray for, is having some friends who love Jesus too.
Oh, yes. So important. Mm-hmm. The friends you choose are far more important than you can ever realize whenever you're very young, because these decisions about whether to do things the right way or the wrong way are hard enough for adults.
Yeah.
But for kids, you are so influenced by your friends and by the people around you. And if you surround yourself with people who love Jesus, you will encourage each other to make the right decisions. But if you encircle yourself with people who don't believe in Jesus or who are not listening to him, you can take some really, really dark paths that will have really bad consequences through your life.
Yeah, so good, Anna. And, you know, if you're in school as you're listening to this, you might want to think about who you know that loves Jesus. And you may not know anybody that, you know, you may find that you don't really know. You may not have talked to any of your friends about these kind of things. So there's several ways you could find them. But one thing is to ask God to help you find some friends and maybe even adult friends that will, you know, maybe teachers. There are probably some teachers in your school that love Jesus. And you might find out if your school has some Christian clubs. You know, the schools I've always been in have had at least one or more Christian clubs. And there are teachers in charge of those. It would be thrilled for a student to come up and say, hey, I need a Christian friend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they might put you in touch with another student that they know that loves Jesus. And you know, you could make some friends that way.
Right.
But it really is important to have other people. I mean, Nana and I have each other. We can talk to each other a lot about the Lord. But we also have other friends that love Jesus that we can talk to. And of course, you can find them at church. Some of you go to church. You can find Christian friends at church.
That's a really important thing, too, is to find a church that believes Jesus, that believes who he is. There are lots of different denominations, and in my opinion, that part doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the church knows and teaches Jesus as God and all the truths about him in the Bible, then that's fine with me. But one of the ways, if you get involved in a good church, one of the ways that you can start a conversation is simply to say to anybody, whether it's a friend or a teacher, to say, do you go to church anywhere?
Mm.
And they'll say yes or no. And especially if they say yes, you can start talking about your different churches. Mm. I do that all the time.
That's good.
With students, pharmacy students and tech students that come into our pharmacy and work for a while. That's one of the first things I ask them is, do you go to church anywhere?
So
and that goes off on a conversation.
Yeah, that's really good. That's a good way to do it. And plus the fact, when you do that, you'll probably talk to some people who don't go to church, and you'll get a chance to tell them why you do believe that Jesus is important in your life and why you believe in Jesus.
I've had lots of good conversations with some. We've had a girl who was a Buddhist. I've had You know, Islam. I've mm-hmm. had all kinds of people coming through, and a lot of them are interested in who Jesus really is from my perspective. Yeah. And so it's been great to have those conversations.
So that is kind of giving you an idea, guys, of what's important to Nana and Grandpa. This is what we want our lives to be all about. And it would just be a tragedy to us if we lived our lives through, you know, I'm getting pretty old now, I'm up in my 70s, and if we lived our lives through and didn't communicate to you what's really most important of all. I mean, this is just what our life is all about.
Yes,
Jesus is what it's all about. When Jesus came out of that grave, when he died on that cross and came out of that grave 2,000 years ago, that was the main event of history. Of course,
Amen.
God created this whole thing, this whole universe we live in. And if you could question that, by the way, we've got some stuff to help you with that too. But eventually, he created it so that Jesus could come. He created us, and he sent Jesus. And that's what it's all about.
Yes.
And there are so many things that can preoccupy you and get your attention and use up your time and use up your energy that someday will just not mean much at all. It may be fun, it may be exciting, but someday it's going to be trivial. And we just don't want you to get off on the wrong track. We want you to make sure your life is about what life is all about, that
yes.
you don't miss the main event, that's the main thing. So that's why we're doing this. And maybe later on we can talk some more about some things like this and give a few more details and, you know, maybe a few other things that we'd like to talk about. But but Nana, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this up? Maybe I ought to have a prayer with them here in a minute.
Well, I just want to say to all of you how very, very, very much that I love you, that Grandpa loves you, and Jesus loves you, and he wants to be close to you. He wants to guide you lovingly and sweetly. There is no better feeling than knowing that Jesus loves you.
That's good. So, Nana, why don't you pray for the grandkids, and then when you finish, I'll say a few words in prayer too, and then we'll close it that way, okay?
Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to talk with our grandchildren. First of all, I want to thank you that we have these grandchildren.
Yes.
They are each one so individually special and wonderful to us, and especially to you, because you created them. Every little piece of them you know better than any of us, and you love them more than we do. And I thank you that you've given Grandpa the idea that we could make this podcast, that we could sit and talk with them so that they can listen to it and maybe listen to it more than once and hear the love in our voices for you, and the joy and the wonderful peace and the guidance that you alone can give. I pray that each one of them will learn more about you, and that they will want to follow you and ask you to give them wisdom. You've promised in your word that all we have to do is ask you, and you'll give us the wisdom to make the right choices.
Thank you.
So please, Lord, help them to seek you, your will, and your way for their lives.
Yes. And Father, you know I agree with everything that Nana said to you just now. And I just want to thank you for the way you have created us, and the way you have broken into history, and the way you have sent Jesus to die on the cross and live that perfect life, and then die for our sins, and then conquer death and conquer the grave and conquer hell and conquer Satan, so that we could be yours now and forever. And Lord, what an awesome thing you've done for us. And we don't want any of our grandkids to miss this, Lord. We don't want any of them to miss you and to miss your purpose and to miss the truth. And Lord, we know we're living in a world where there's a lot of darkness and a lot of confusion, a lot of different beliefs, and a lot of people don't believe in you and don't believe in your word or in Jesus. And if our grandkids are struggling with this, I pray you'd help them to find things that we've said or written, or maybe that somebody else has said or written, to help get it settled in their hearts that this is true. You really are God, and Jesus really has risen from the dead, and you really do have a plan for our lives and a purpose for us. Father, I thank you that you've made each one of our grandkids very different from the others, very unique, very special, very wonderful, and you've got an incredible purpose, an incredible plan. Help them to understand that without you, that plan is going to be messed up really badly, that they need you to fulfill that purpose and that plan and to have the joy and the happiness and the fun that you want them to have in life, the meaning and the purpose. Lord, help them to realize that without you, their life's going to be a mess. And help them realize that with you, life can be exciting and thrilling and joyful and beyond their wildest dreams. So I thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. I don't have any idea what it means, but I know someday from eternity, we're going to be looking back, and all of us who've trusted Jesus and who just walked with you and let you be in charge, we're not going to have regrets. We're going to have lots of joy and excitement all the way through eternity. So we pray that our grandchildren will be enjoying it and rejoicing with us in that glorious time when these lives are over. So bless them and keep them and watch over them and protect them and guide them in your paths. Yes. And we'll give you praise and glory for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.